This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Welcome in another edition of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. We're calling a bit of an audible this week. No visual component to the podcast, and Adam Burke will be later in the week, and Matt Eumanns will be right now. Matt Eumanns joins me here on the podcast. We will have a handful of podcasts throughout the bowl season, no doubt. But let's start, Matt, with just our first thoughts as we have the playoff bracket set. We've got the bowl game set. Those all came out on Sunday. And before we get into the playoff and our first feelings there, you know, I was talking about this with Matt Brown on VSiN Primetime tonight about, you know, the bowl season initially was just kind of who's going to be motivated, who's going to be not. Then it was, okay, I think this team's going to have these particular opt-outs for the NFL draft. And now the tricky part, Matt, is a lot of these schools from the G5 level are losing a lot of their pieces because they want to go into the portal and go up a level. So it really is a pretty tricky handicap the whole bowl season because you've got opt-outs, you've got motivation, and then now you've got, you know, lower level Power 5, G5 programs losing a ton of their players to the portal.
Yeah, no doubt. It's the wild, wild west of college football. I said this is December, and it's a different kind of madness in a column I wrote today because it's a complex puzzle to put together for odds makers and handicappers. And I think you have to make the best educated guesses you can on which teams are going to lose players for bowl games and which teams are not. And, you know, the motivation thing has always been there. We've talked about that for many years. It's nothing new. But the transfer portal adds such a difficult wrinkle to the whole thing that it can work out in your favor, too. You know, you can't always act like this is going to be an excruciating exercise because if you're a step ahead of it, this could work out in your favor big time. And you could get on the right side of a line move or just on the right side of a game and hammer it and be – and benefit from this. So you have to look at the positives of it and not just act like it's going to be a difficult thing to try to tackle over the next couple weeks, because there are going to be some opportunities out there, Tim. We've been doing shows together on VSiN for 2 or 3 years, and every year there's at least 2 or 3 bowl games you can hammer and feel pretty good about it, and they work out in your favor more often than not. We get information or we get way ahead of a line move. So that's the type of things we have to look for right now.
You know, one of the fun things is I bookmarked the Circa tweet from earlier on Monday. And I just want to look back periodically and see how much the lines have moved for these bowl games as if we have weeks of you know, players in and out of the portal and coaching changes and all of that. So before we get to the bowl games, and we'll kind of go in chronological order, we're not going to hit on every single bowl game. We'll have in-depth previews as we get closer to bowl games and where we stand. This is kind of a first glance, first blush feel of some bowls, some early bets that we have. Let's get to the playoff. Obviously, Florida State left out. You know, at the end of the day, I was wrong. I thought Florida State, if they went undefeated, would be no doubt in. They were not. And I said it on the podcast. I said it on my show, Matt, as a football fan. it's awesome. I mean, I think we have a great Final Four right now because Florida State is not there. I feel bad for the players and the fans of that particular program. But we got two really good games, at least on paper here. Let's start with the Rose Bowl. January 1st, 5 o'clock Eastern, 2 o'clock Pacific there. It's going to be an incredible atmosphere. Michigan taking on Alabama. And as we record this on late Monday night, it is a Michigan 1.5-point spread. And I believe you already have an early play on this one.
I have not bet it yet, but I am going to bet it. I haven't decided how I'm going to play it. Alabama to win the whole thing. Alabama on the money line here. You know, I was going to bet Alabama plus 3 yesterday. I was waiting for that 2.5 to go to 3. And I got a friend who bought it to plus 3. I did not do that. I like Alabama to win the game. Tim, I'm a Big Ten proponent, Big Ten graduate, but I think the Big Ten has stunk this year in football. The Big Ten West was really, really bad. And obviously Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State are a cut above the rest, or a couple cuts above the rest. But I still think these defensive numbers you look at for Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State are deflated, let's say, because their offenses are so bad in that conference. And, you know, I rewind to a year ago when Michigan's defense was supposed to be so dominant. And then Michigan ran into Jeff Brohm and Purdue in the Big Ten championship game, and Purdue outgained Michigan by 50 yards, had 27 first downs, Michigan 17. Purdue had 34 minutes time of possession. That should have been a red flag to a lot of bettors that, hey, maybe this Michigan defense is not as dominant as we thought. These numbers are a little phony because of bad Big Ten offenses. Guess what happens? Wolverines get to the playoffs, and TCU hangs 50 on them. So I'm not convinced that Michigan is as good as the hype. And Wolverines are going to have to prove it to me here, because I watched the entire Big Ten title game. God, it was ugly. I know that Michigan was not showing all its cards, but 213 total yards and 12 first downs for the Wolverines. I'm just not seeing a lot of explosive plays out of this offense. And we'll go back to what we always say. You give Nick Saban a few weeks to prepare for a game, I don't want to bet against him, especially if he's an underdog, even if he's only a 1.5-point dog. So I'm going to bet that, I'm going to bet Alabama a little bit on the money line in this game, and Bama to win the championship. And I'll probably play that by tomorrow, by Tuesday, but I have not bet it yet. I will bet it because I'm going to be on the Alabama side. The Big Ten is going to have to prove – Tim, the Big Ten is going to have to prove it to me in this bowl season, have to prove me wrong.
So I was going back and looking at my tickets October 17th, Matt, on this podcast, and I got to the window on the Bo Nix to win the Heisman 30-1, and that will be a nice souvenir to hang in my office as he went off -230 prior to the Pac-12 championship, and obviously he will not win the Heisman Trophy as they lose that game. But the next week, I actually went in on Alabama at 14-1 at Boyd Sports here in Las Vegas. And that was after they had beaten Tennessee. Alabama had beaten Tennessee. I took them at 14-1 right before they played LSU. And obviously they won that game. And look, was it smooth sailing? No, they probably should have lost to Auburn. And, you know, you could debate whether or not they should have gotten in over Florida State, but at the end of the day, I was pretty impressed. Alabama's offense wasn't spectacular against Georgia, but for the most part, they kind of dominated that game. And I'll say this, Matt, you know, Michigan's wide receivers are going to have to prove it to me against this pretty studly secondary there of Alabama. So I'm with you. I like Alabama to win this game. You know, getting points with Nick Saban in this particular spot. I do like this situation. Flipping over to the Sugar Bowl, New Year's night, Washington right now, a 4.5-point underdog. And boy, did they prove a lot of people wrong. Not you. You had Washington, good bet by you last week on the podcast. The 4.5s are quickly getting scooped up. DraftKings still has the 4.5, but a lot of 4s out there now. Washington had a great game plan and executed it, beat Oregon. And I thought the defense played pretty well. And then Texas went out and got the style points that people discussed and put it on Oklahoma State 49-28. But you still see a couple of those moments, those Quinn Ewers kind of brain fart type of plays. You going to trust Kalen DeBoer here with a month to prepare against Steve Sarkisian?
I do. Kalen DeBoer is one of my favorite coaches. And, look at his track record over the last 4 years or so, 4 or 5 years. Kalen DeBoer is an outstanding. He's going to be considered an elite coach in college football. And I love the hire at the time when Washington brought him in. Michael Penix looked a lot better in the Pac-12 championship game than he did in the previous 4 or 5 weeks or so. Looked a lot sharper. And this is a rematch of the Alamo Bowl last year. And I was on Washington in that game. Last year, that had a lot to do with motivation. Texas had guys opting out, and the motivation was not there for the Longhorns. Obviously, this is a much different situation. But I'm going to bet on – I actually played this one already, Washington plus 4.5. I missed – there was a couple fives out there that I missed. but I got 4.5 with Washington. And I think the Huskies got their swagger back with what they did to Oregon in the Pac-12 championship game, when very few people thought they were going to do that to the Ducks. This Texas defensive front and offensive line is really physical, and that's where the Longhorns have an advantage against every team they play. But I'm still not fully a believer in Quinn Ewers. Like you said, he's erratic. He'll make a couple bad decisions here and there that could cost you the game. And I think the value is with the underdog in this. I made the number Texas 1.5. So I had to take 4.5 with Washington in the Sugar Bowl.
Jalen McMillan, Rome Odunze, both over 100 yards in the Pac-12 championship game. Dylan Johnson rushed for 100 yards. Really nice performance from Washington, and Oregon came back. They were able to battle back, take the lead again. So Washington proved a lot of us wrong. Not you, Matt, and shout out to Mike Sanford, former Colorado offensive coordinator, interim head coach last year, who came on my show and said, I think Washington's going to win the game outright. And he was right. So we get Washington, Texas in the nightcap on New Year's Day. And Alabama and Michigan to start. Florida State will play Georgia in the Orange Bowl, and we'll get to that one here in a little bit. Well, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we will quickly run through some of our early thoughts of the bowl games that are out there and some of the early bets. So come on back. It's the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.
Sports Betting Innovative Analytics has taken the guesswork and emotion out of sports betting to bring you an innovative and trustworthy resource to enhance your journey to becoming a winning player. With industry-leading money-back guarantee options backed by their sophisticated modeling, they want to introduce you to a system that's not widely seen or available to help you beat the bookmaker. Specializing in NBA, college basketball, and WNBA, your first week is always free. Get started at SBIA1.com today.
All right, we're back. Please rate, review, and subscribe. There will be a plenty of bowl content coming out throughout the bowl season here. Myself, Matt Eumanns, Adam Burke as well. Adam and I will jump on a podcast a little bit later on the week, but Matt is here. And Matt, let's get to a game that, you know, I don't know what to do with this game. I think you have a bet already in pocket, and that's the L.A. Bowl. The full name is something with Gronk, but we'll just call it the L.A. Bowl for sake of non-confusion here. But Boise State wins the Mountain West, and that was a best bet for me as they dominated UNLV. And they take on UCLA, a team that you really have to question their motivation going into this game. Spencer Danielson does get the full-time job there for Boise State, so big victory for Boise, and they've turned it around since firing Andy Avalos. Boise is interesting to me on this front. We know that Talen Green has hit the portal today, so something to keep an eye on there. And then also the backup quarterback, Maddox Madison, is going to be out as well. With Ashton Gentry and George Helani, if they both play, I think I could find myself on Boise State here. But I have not bet this game. You look at UCLA. They're going to have a handful of opt-outs. Dante Moore has already hit the transfer portal. I would imagine the edge rusher, Latu, will probably opt out of this game to prepare for the NFL draft. Playing in your backyard, is there motivation at all there for UCLA? So how do you look at the L.A. Bowl?
Well, initially, I think I looked at it a little bit wrong because I didn't think Talen Green was going to opt out, and I bet Boise plus 3 today. And I didn't anticipate that news, but I like Boise in the game anyway, because you mentioned the Spencer Danielson issue. He got the interim tag dropped. He's a full-time coach now, so I think he got all the motivation with the Boise side. UCLA's off that 33-7 loss to Cal in the finale. You mentioned Dante Moore, and he's transferring. I don't like the quarterback situation at UCLA, and here's what's disturbing to me the most about the Bruins. How do you let Danton Lynn, your defensive coordinator, go to USC? He was the strength of that USC coach or UCLA coaching staff. It was not Chip Kelly's offense this year. It was Danton Lynn's defense. Mm-hmm. He was an outstanding young defensive coordinator, 34 years old. he gets poached by USC. How do you let that happen at UCLA? How do you let your rival steal your best assistant coach? And it makes me think this UCLA program's a little bit out of whack. That and a lot of other things make me think that UCLA's out of whack. And, Tim, I thought the Bruins were going to have a bunch of guys sitting out of this bowl game. That was my anticipation when I bet the Boise State side. I didn't think the Boise quarterback was going to hit the transfer portal. So that's a mistake I made in playing that, not anticipating that move, because I keep talking about it. You got to make sure when you play these that there's not going to be personnel departures or unexpected moves happen with players. And then I didn't see that coming with the Boise quarterback. I don't think you're a big Talen Green fan anyway. Well, where's he going? Where he's going to leave Boise and go where?
I have no idea where he's going to head. That I guess there's still a chance he could come back is what I read, but I would be very, very surprised to see him land at a better spot than Boise, unless they told him, hey, why don't you head out of town? I don't know. That was a very surprising one for me.
So I think what you can look at here too, maybe is under the total of 50, which is out there, but you know, I'm going to reserve judgment on this one for a minute. I'm just going to sit on this Boise bet and got a week and a half or so to think about this one. But you do have to question a lot of what's going on with the UCLA program. Isn't it troubling to you that you would let Danton Lynn walk to your rival, USC?
Yeah. No, no doubt. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, Chip Kelly, I think, just kind of shrugged his shoulders and said, well, you know, we couldn't match what they offered. So very, very surprising move there. So it would be Boise or pass, but I'm going to wait and see. Hopefully both George Helani and Ashton Jeanty stick around. If both of them play this game, I think ultimately I'll end up on the Broncos, but I'm curious to see if they test the waters. Remember, the portal just officially opened on Monday. So, you know, more players could be filing in and out of the portal. I want to jump to a game a bowl game that you and I love. And it's not on Christmas Eve this year, which makes me a little bit sad, but it's still late night on December 23rd, 10:30 kickoff. And that's Coastal Carolina and San Jose State. San Jose State still pretty upset. From my understanding, that they were left out of the Mountain West Championship. They are fired up to be headed to Hawaii for this bowl game. Last year, I actually covered their bowl game. I was their sideline reporter when they were in Boise. So no offense to lovely Boise, Idaho, but Honolulu this time of year, a little bit better than Boise. And Chevin Cordero is of Hawaiian descent, of course, started his career there and will wrap up his career there in Hawaii. You look at opt-outs. I haven't seen anyone yet of massive significance hit the transfer portal for San Jose State. Certainly that could change. But Matt, when you look at Coastal Carolina, you know, we talked about Coastal Carolina a little bit last week in the show, talking about Liberty and Jamie Chadwell leaving and the drop-off that it's been from him to Tim Beck. Coastal Carolina embarrassed in their last game of the season, getting absolutely run off the field by Old Dominion, 56-14. And they've had a massive amount of people hit the portal here, most notably being Grayson McCall, who is likely, according to reports, headed to NC State. You know, you look at motivation, you look at a portal. I think it all adds up to San Jose State being a big spot here. And, you know, I laid the 8.5 with San Jose State today. You and I, not big favorite bettors, but I think this spot is fantastic for San Jose State. I think they're going to be incredibly motivated. I think Chevin Cordero playing his final collegiate game in Hawaii, where he's from, is going to be motivated. And then I don't know what to think about this Coastal Carolina team as they head out to the islands there without a lot of pieces as they've hit the portal there. So I laid it, and I would lay anything before double digits with San Jose State here.
Yeah, I've been the rules a little bit in the bowl season sometimes, and bet a bigger favorite than I typically would if I think the game could get out of hand, and I think that could be the situation here. San Jose State's got all the motivation. You saw Brent Brennan when he went in and announced that to the team, how fired up the team was to go to a Hawaii Bowl. Everybody knows Siobhan Cordero is a transfer from Hawaii. He's had a pretty good year. I mean, a total of 22 touchdowns, only four interceptions, has not been turning the ball over much, not taking or making many negative plays, only taking 18 sacks the entire season. When I look at Kyrie Robinson, who's a stud running back, hopefully he plays in this game. I would expect he will. I don't think San Jose State's going to have guys missing for the bowl, but, you know, it's also the opponent. You look at Coastal, and I think this team's going to be stripped down. It's been a major coaching downgrade. I don't see many positives for Coastal coming into this game. I expect San Jose to win this going away. I would say 17, 20 or more. I'd be disappointed if San Jose doesn't win this game easily. So I did lay 8.5 with the Spartans. I said on the Sunday morning show on VSIN with JVT and Pam that I was really hoping San Jose was going to open as like a 6.5-point favorite. Anything less than 7, I was just going to hammer that. And, of course, I didn't expect that to happen. So there was 7.5 out there. I bet some on that. I bet more at 8.5. And I think San Jose should win this easily.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. Keeping it rolling here, just chronologically, let's go to the Holiday Bowl. Louisville, you and I were exchanging some texts on Saturday night. What an embarrassing performance offensively from the Cardinals against Florida State. And now Louisville's laying 7.5 against USC. For some reason, I don't want to get into the specifics, but I have no idea how these bowls came about. Louisville gets selected for the Holiday Bowl. USC, there were reports out there that not a lot of bowls are going to be interested in USC just because of the opt-out nature. You know, obviously, we will not have Caleb Williams, and I'm sure there'll be plenty other opt-outs coming here for USC. Marshawn Lloyd, I would imagine, is I think he's already officially announced he is going out. I mean, there's going to be a host of players that are going to be gone here for USC. So it's baked into the number here. I wanted to bet Louisville, but I have not gotten there. How are you looking to attack here the Holiday Bowl with Louisville and USC?
I'm going to play Louisville on the money line or on a money line parlay, but I'm going to be on Louisville in some fashion here. I don't want to lay the 7.5 either. And here's something I read about Dan Tomlin, who left UCLA to go to USC as defensive coordinator. I was surprised by this. He's already with the Trojans, and he's going to be game planning, apparently, for this bowl game. It surprised me that he made the switch
really
fast. I just read this today, that he's already with the team, and apparently he's involved in bowl prep. I don't like that, because for somebody who wants to bet the Louisville side, I don't want a really good defensive coordinator helping USC, you know, and implementing his system for this bowl game. Now, I'm going to have to double check that. The writer who covers USC, who wrote it, I read the story today twice, and I was like, wow, he's really involved in this already. So it didn't seem to me like that would be contractually allowable. I mean, the UCLA, he got out of that contract already, and he's working at USC. I found that kind of odd. But regardless, I'll tell you why I think Jeff Brohm was so conservative in the first half against Florida State. He doesn't trust Jack Plummer, and he didn't want Plummer to lose the game because he knew how opportunistic that Florida State defense is. And he thought that the Florida State offense is going to be so bad that Louisville could probably put up 17 points and win that game. So that's why I think Brohm was conservative. Well, you saw in the second half, he started to open things up. I thought he really scripted that first drive of the second half well until they got to that 3rd-and-2 situation at about the 15-yard line and then ran it right up the middle like an idiot. He ran it right up in the middle into the strength of the Florida State defense and get stuffed and have to kick a field goal. Surprise, surprise. Look, what worked for Louisville all the way down the field was deception, misdirection, things like that to keep the Florida State defense off balance. And then you get to 3rd-and-2 and you run the ball right up the middle? What are you thinking? So, and then late in the game with 10 minutes to go, Cardinals get the turnover. They can win the game in that spot. take the lead, kind of take control of the game anyway. And what's Jack Plummer do? Throws right into double coverage in the end zone, right to the Florida State defensive player. Game over. I knew the game was over at that point. It was 10-6. That was Louisville's last chance. Okay, so how the Cardinals end the season? They lost their rival, Kentucky. They blew the ACC championship game. I think Brohm's going to have this team highly motivated to stop that losing streak and go into the offseason with a win. And I don't expect opt-outs. I expect Louisville to be firing on all cylinders here. We've already known a couple key players are going to be out for USC, including Williams, as you mentioned. I don't think there's going to be a lot of motivation on the USC side, even playing down the road in San Diego. Should have pretty good fan support. I like Louisville in this game, but, man, I don't want to lay the 7.5. I was really hoping this number is going to open around 4. Of course, that was wishful thinking. So it's a little bit out of my price range, but I'll put Louisville on some sort of money line play.
So that game's on the December 27th. December 28th, I put a small bet in today on Rutgers plus the 4. Look, Rutgers started the season 6-2. Matt, loses its final 4 games of the year. This game, you know, being played at Yankee Stadium. I've been to a Notre Dame-Rutgers Pinstripe Bowl. It's not like Rutgers fans are going to be flocking to Yankee Stadium there, but anytime I could really fade Miami in a bowl game, especially in New York City, I'm going to do it. Tyler Van Dyke, who we know has had a pretty poor season, he has hit the transfer portal. I expect some opt-outs to come here down the pipeline for Miami. So, you know, you could look under a little bit in this game with Rutgers' inability to score a bunch. You look at their final, you know, 4 games. They were, beat or lost to Ohio State 35-16, shut out by Iowa, scored 6 points against Penn State, and then get beat up pretty good by Maryland. But I think they will be motivated. Greg Schiano against Miami here. So I think Rutgers has a chance to be a live dog, and hopefully we can get some inclement weather up there as well. So I put a small play in on Rutgers today at plus 4. Later on that evening, probably the bowl game outside of the playoff that I'm – yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say something about this Rutgers-Miami game quickly. I agree with you. If you get really cold weather, I think Rutgers has got to be the side you look at. And I was always going to mention – I thought it was a lock that Brian Cashman would be the biggest buffoon to walk the field at Yankee Stadium this year, and I was wrong. It's going to be Mario Cristobal.
Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, you look at how this season ended for Miami, and now they have to go up to Yankee Stadium. He's too worried about, you know, giving the bag to a bunch of recruits like Justin Scott, who, hey, Shouts to you. You're able to get him. But, I don't think there's going to be much motivation there for Miami. Old Big East rivalry here. So let's go Rutgers catching 4 there at Yankee Stadium. Alamo Bowl is always a fun bowl game. You mentioned last year was Texas and Washington. We've had some really good matchups in this bowl game in San Antonio. Going to have a fast track. And you're going to have two teams going head-to-head. Oklahoma, interesting news today as the portal opened up. Dylan Gabriel, I didn't know he had eligibility left, Matt. He is he's on the move. He's in the transfer portal there for Oklahoma, probably handing over the reins to Jackson Arnold, who is a highly touted recruit there. Jeff Lebby, the offensive coordinator, is now the head coach of Mississippi State. So a couple decent size defections here for this Oklahoma team. And Arizona, they have been the darling so far this year when it comes to ATS. We've bet them a lot, and motivation certainly will be there for the Cats. So how are you looking at the Alamo Bowl on December 28th?
Yeah, I was up at 4 a.m. on Monday working, and I saw a breaking news flash that Kyle McCord, the Ohio State quarterback, was going into transfer portal, and I was like, wow, I didn't see that coming. I thought Ohio State was going to have some guys sitting out, but I didn't think McCord was going to be one. And I'll talk about that a little bit more in a minute. A couple hours later, a few hours later, whatever, I see Dylan Gabriel's leaving Oklahoma like you. I said, wait a minute, this guy's got an eighth year of eligibility? What the hell? So apparently he's going to get a ton of money. What's he going to get? I mean, he's going to get more money to play in college next year than he would as a second or third round draft pick in the NFL if he were that lucky. But I would say that I love the job Jed Fish did this year. I mean, it's pretty obvious. The turnaround in Tucson was phenomenal by Fish. And, you know, you got to wonder where Brent Venables' program is going into this bowl game again. You know, last year Texas went to the Alamo Bowl, had players opting out, didn't have a lot of motivation, and it showed. I think we got a similar situation here with Oklahoma. And with Jed Fish and his program pointing up, you know, a lot of these matchups are not about stats or things like that. We're not going to talk a lot about numbers. We're going to talk about other factors. And I think the factor here is that Fish really is got some momentum going with the Arizona program. And I think you're going to see a Wildcats team come in here and want to play its A game and finish the season with a bowl win while things are on the upswing. Recruiting's going well in Fish's program. But now we're getting to the point where you're almost too late to the party, where it's up to Arizona minus 3.5 or 4. This is one I played at a better number today, at less than a field goal. But I would still think, you know, you can also play Arizona on the money line. If these numbers get out of control, you can make a money line play on some of these too. So that's something to look at. I think Arizona's got to be the right side here.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I think I introduced that with the wrong spread. I was Arizona. I wish they were catching 4 against Oklahoma. No, they are the favorite, as Matt mentioned. 3.5 or 4, -165 looks to be the cheapest money line out there. All right, I'm going to take another quick break. When we come back, we'll wrap it up. Got some New Year's Six games. Got the Sun Bowl, baby, down in El Paso. Notre Dame and Oregon State. So a couple more thoughts. Let's take a quick break and come on back. All right, we're back here on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Got 3 New Year's Six games to hit on, but I do want to hit on the Sun Bowl, which very surprisingly, as I was wondering where Notre Dame would land, thought it initially was going to be the ReliaQuest Bowl, the formerly Outback Bowl, Matt. But once Alabama beat Georgia, that triggered a bowl clause that made a Big Ten team go to the ReliaQuest Bowl, which is Wisconsin, and then Notre Dame went back into the pecking order of the ACC bowls. I don't know what the hell happened, but ultimately they landed with the Sun Bowl, and they're playing Oregon State. And boy, I tell you what, if this was a game in October, this would be a phenomenal game. But unfortunately, it's going to be in late December, and maybe it'll be a good game, but there's not going to be a lot of players that you're going to know in this one. We'll start with Oregon State, Matt. Jonathan Smith, head coach, he is gone. He is headed off to Michigan State. He's bringing a lot of the staff with him, and they hired, this is a really interesting situation. So they hired Tyler Bray to be the head coach there for Oregon State, Trent Bray, but he is apparently not going to be coaching the bowl game. I don't know why. So yeah, a unique situation there. And then DJ Uiagalelei has hit the transfer portal, still has eligibility. Aiden Childs, the backup, is also in the transfer portal there for Oregon State. We expect multiple an offensive tackle to sit out here for Oregon State as well. And then Damian Martinez, the star running back for Oregon State, has been suspended for this game for a DUI. So, you know, that is on the Oregon State side of things. And then on the Notre Dame side of things, a bunch of pieces into the transfer portal. Rico Flores, their leading receiver. Holden Stays, one of their top tight ends, Tobias Merriweather, Chris Tyree, a lot of wide receivers, a lot of playmakers. We have not heard yet from Joe Alt, who is expected to be a top 10 pick. We have not heard yet from Sam Hartman. Went some interesting words from Marcus Freeman earlier today saying that when asked pointedly, is Sam Hartman going to play? couple days ago, he said yes. Today, he said, well, I'm not going to make an announcement for players who are deciding not to play. Audric Estime, I would expect, not going to play. So a lot of pieces expected to opt out here for the Irish. So a long-winded answer or long-winded thing of saying, I like the game under. I think this is headed under. I think you're looking at a third-string quarterback for Oregon State and Ben Gulbranson. You're looking at a Notre Dame squad with out its top wide receivers, without its running back more than likely. Who knows about Sam Hartman? The quote was, as I said, I am going to let the guys that are not playing make their announcements, end quote, when asked about Sam Hartman. So it could be without Sam Hartman. So I think there could be a lot of defections here in this game down in El Paso. So I think defense should still be solid for the Irish. I think they'll probably try to run the ball, Matt. I guess with a third string and a backup quarterback playing, you could get some turnovers, which could derail an under. But I went under 46.5, which I think is still out there, 45.5, 46. So I think this is an ugly game. And how about this, Matt? The last time two ranked teams played each other in the Sun Bowl, it was 2008. That was Washington State against Oregon State against Pittsburgh in the final, 3-0 in that game.
I've said many times that's might be the worst bowl game ever played, and I watched it. I remember it well. I like the Sun Bowl. This is one of my favorite bowl games. I went to it once in El Paso 15 or 20 years ago for a Purdue-Washington State game, and very memorable because I went to Juarez, Mexico that night, and I barely made it back alive. But that's a story for a different day. You know, I think when you're talking about this, what jumps out here and is obvious is that the offense is going to be severely shorthanded in this game. I'll be really disappointed in Sam Hartman for not playing in this bowl game. You know, have some pride in the Notre Dame program and show up and play the bowl game. And it's disappointing if he doesn't. It looks like he's not. And when I talk about severely shorthanded offenses, the strengths of both teams are going to be the defenses, no doubt about it. I don't think you're going to have massive opt-outs on the defenses. So Notre Dame and Oregon State looks like it's going to be an ugly game on paper, and I think it's going to play out that way. Under 45.5 is still a good bet, and that's what I like in this game as well.
All right, let's get to later on that night, the first New Year's Six game, and this number has been on the move. You mentioned it already with Ohio State, where Kyle McCord, very surprisingly, has decided to hit the transfer portal. So I'm not sure who Ohio State's going to turn to at the quarterback position. Look, they've recruited that. Maybe Devin Brown. Is he healthy? I know he was banged up earlier this year. And then you look at also hitting the transfer portal for Ohio State was Julian Fleming, a wide receiver. Marvin Harrison Jr. and Emeka Egbuka, they haven't opted out yet. I'm sure they will. Cade Stover, I would think, if he's draft eligible, I got to double check that. I wouldn't think he would play in this game, but that's just speculation. And you look at Missouri, Matt, and I'll let you kind of talk a little bit more about it, but I'm mad at myself for not betting this game earlier and getting a really, really good number, because you talk about motivation. You think Missouri's going to be motivated to take on Ohio State in the Cotton Bowl. This is not a spot Missouri is used to playing in. Cody Schrader is a stud running back, but I don't think he has much pro prospects. Luther Burden, hopefully he plays. My curiosity, Matt, is if he wants to dip his toe into that portal to get a big, big payday, because he would be highly sought after, but certainly not the case yet. Brady Cook will, I would imagine, play. So I think Missouri is really an intriguing spot there, and that's why we've seen the betting market move as much as it has.
Yeah, my best Missouri source says no opt-outs, none. Well, I don't know if that's going to be the case. I think Luther Burden's going to be tempted. Burden had 83 catches for almost 1,200 yards and 8 touchdowns. He's a big-time playmaker. Cody Schrader, I would expect to play, the running back, almost 1,500 yards rushing. Brady Cook, an outstanding year, one of the elite quarterbacks in the SEC. Hey, this is a 10-2 Missouri team, and the Tigers really took Georgia, for the most part, to the wire in Athens. And I think Missouri's been a little bit underrated in the betting market this season. I also think Ohio State's been overrated in the betting market, and I expected massive opt-outs here. I didn't think that Kyle McCord was going to be one, but he is. And I don't think Devin Brown's much of a quarterback. One thing Ohio State does have is depth. A lot of these young players can step up, and Ryan Day can say, hey, you're playing for starting positions next year. And I don't think the Buckeyes are going to lay down. But Missouri's going to be highly motivated for this game, assuming all those key players are on the field. I like Missouri to win this game by a decent margin. I don't think the point spread's going to matter here. Now, last night when I was looking at this and it was 6.5, I said, wow, I like Missouri here at 6.5. That number's too high. Well, right now the best number you can get in Missouri plus 2.5. But I'll say still, you're not always going to get the best number. And sometimes you got to settle for something less if you really like a side. And I really like the Missouri side here. I expect the Tigers to win the game, like I said, by at least a touchdown. And this is I've got good numbers on Missouri because I was up this morning and I was betting a couple of games. I bet a handful of games, and Missouri was one of the first bets I made. So I do have good numbers here, but I'm going to bet even more because I like Missouri to win the game.
Yeah, I missed a good number. I got a little at 3, a little on the money line. Wish I had the 6, 6.5, but I'm with you. I think they win this game, and you know, the more I got to dig into Ohio State a little bit more of what they're going to look like in this bowl game. But I got to imagine, you know, this is a letdown for them, and this is a massive opportunity in prime time in Jerry's world for Missouri to put up a show there. And I know we've talked a lot about Missouri. I've bet on them. I've bet against them. And it looks like I'm going to wrap up the year on the Missouri Tigers. All right, two more bowl games. Early thoughts here. Let's go Saturday afternoon, Saturday, December 30th, the Peach Bowl down in Atlanta. Penn State right now, a 4-point favorite against Ole Miss. Matt Brown was asking me about this game today, and I kind of felt like both of these teams, Matt, are a little similar. Ole Miss, their two biggest tests this year. Now, they did beat LSU, but their other two big tests against Georgia, they failed hard. And against Alabama, really non-competitive. That was the best bet on this program, I believe, by you early on in the year where it looked like Alabama was on sale. Penn State's got a good win over Iowa, 31-0, but against Michigan and against Ohio State, really not that competitive. And now they get to go up head-to-head. So what do you make of this one? Total 49.5, Penn State laying 4 against Ole Miss.
Yeah, I'm going to bet against James Franklin and bet on Lane Kiffin in this matchup. I think he's going to have his team ready to play. And Missouri or Mississippi's got plenty of quarterback depth here. So I'm not concerned about the Rebels' quarterback situation in the bowl game. And I don't think you're going to have massive opt-outs on the Ole Miss side. Penn State's best offensive lineman, I think, should be sitting out this game. There's no reason for him to play in the Peach Bowl. And I don't have a lot for you here except for I think Penn State's overpriced as a 4-point favorite. And I expect Mississippi to pretty much have its full complement of stars in this game. And I like Lane Kiffin against James Franklin. I fade Franklin. That's one of my favorite things to do in college football, even though I thought that I thought Penn State had a chance to win that Big Ten East this year. You know, it's just foolish to think that James Franklin could beat Ohio State or Michigan because he just doesn't do it. But Penn State hasn't stepped up in class and played well very often. And Mississippi's more, I think, on par with the top teams in the Big Ten. Like I told you, I think there are a lot of bad football teams in the Big Ten this year, and Mississippi would be better than most of them. So I'll take the 4 here. I think Penn State should be favored by less than a field goal in my estimation.
All right, we'll wrap on this. There was a screenshot on social media on Sunday showing both Kirby Smart and Mike Norvell at the Zoom press conference for the Orange Bowl. And both coach could not look more disinterested in this bowl game. Florida State having to figure out how to bounce back after, you know, let's be honest. While I'm happy with what the Final Four looks like, their hearts were ripped out of their chests there. They will be with Tate Rodemaker. And I would imagine a monster amount of opt-outs here coming for Florida State. I would think Keon Coleman won't play. I would think Johnny Wilson won't play. I think there's going to be a lot of guys. Trey Benson, we'll see if he plays, the running back. So I think there's going to be a lot of guys that could be opting out of this bowl game for Florida State. And the same could be said for Georgia. Brock Bowers is definitely not going to play in this game. Ladd McConkey's been running around hurt, it feels like, all year. There's going to be a whole number of Georgia Bulldogs that are not playing in this game. Georgia's laying 14, total of 45.5. I haven't asked you what you're thinking in this one. I could look under because that Florida State defense was really impressive there on Saturday against Louisville. And I don't know if Florida State's going to be able to move the ball against Georgia. So what are you looking at when it comes to the Orange Bowl on Saturday, December 30th?
I'm thinking the same way. Under the total of 45.5 might be the better bet. You wouldn't expect the Florida State offense to do much scoring here against the Georgia D because, again, Georgia's got so much depth that if, you know, a handful of guys could sit out and the defense is still going to be outstanding. And Florida State's the same way on defense. Florida State has a playoff caliber defense. There's no question about it. The problem is it's a totally different team with Jordan Travis out. Kenny White, a longtime Las Vegas odds maker and handicapper, had Florida State 19th in his power rankings going into last weekend. 19th. You know, there's a lot of TV talking airheads who are crying about Florida State being snubbed in the playoff. You don't need two good eyes to see what's happening with the Seminoles in the offense. All you need is one eye and partial vision, and you can see that the Seminoles are not fit to be a playoff team. They're not fit to be in the Final Four. And they're a 14-point underdog to Georgia in this bowl game, and it's a Georgia team that's going to have players sitting out. Florida State would be a big dog to all four playoff teams. Johnny Avello of DraftKings said Florida State would be an underdog to Penn State, to Notre Dame, to LSU, a bunch of other teams. So stop with the crying for Florida State. Yeah, I'm disappointed for you know, the fan base, especially the players and coaches who worked so hard to be an undefeated Power 5 team and all that, but hey, we got to get the best teams in the playoff, and Florida State's not one of the best four. You could argue right now Florida State's not one of the best 12. Now, if we had a 12-team playoff, Florida State would be in. Undefeated Power 5 teams never going to get left out again. But as far as this game goes, the defenses are, again, it's kind of similar to this Notre Dame-Oregon State game we talked about. Defenses are a strength of both teams. Offenses could be severely shorthanded. Not maybe to the extent that the Irish and the Beavers will in the Sun Bowl, but I think 45.5 and under is where you got to look in this game.
All right, let's do one last piece of business here.
Best bet recap.
All right, let's we'll run through them. Obviously, it's early in the bowl season. We're going to be adding more to our cards as we get closer. I'll run through mine real quickly. And a couple, you know, similar plays. San Jose State -8.5. That is the Hawaii Bowl, December 23rd. I'm going Rutgers +4. That is the Pinstripe Bowl, December 28th against Miami. Under 46.5, that's out there. 45.5 is just fine, too, which is readily available. That is in the Sun Bowl, Notre Dame and Oregon State. And I'm going to go ahead and add Missouri +2.5 and on the money line against Ohio State December 29th in the Cotton Bowl. And I think I'm also going to add Georgia, Florida State under 45.5. So a couple plays I'm tailing Matt on here. So Matt, what have you got on the card so far?
All right, we're going to have some common plays here and hopefully some common winners. San Jose State -8.5. Arizona, best number out there now is 3.5. I'm not going to give out numbers that no longer exist. I didn't do the listeners to the podcast any good. So you can still find San Jose -8.5, Arizona -3.5. Tim, how about a money line parlay on Louisville and Notre Dame? Let's go with that. And I might end up, you know, I might end up matching up those two with another team as well, but I like Louisville and Notre Dame each to win those games, so let's go ahead and go with that because I don't want to lay the points. We're going to go with the Notre Dame Oregon State game under 45.5. Let's see. Gonna play. Let's see. Get down to Missouri. Best number you got right now, Missouri plus 2.5. Ole Miss plus 4. I think plus 4 is, yep, plus 4 is the best number out there in Ole Miss right now. Let's go Georgia, Florida State under 45.5. And we'll also go Alabama plus 1.5 and Washington plus 4.5.
All right, there we go. Lots of plays. Keep an eye on VSiN.com. VSiN Tonight with Matt and Wes Reynolds. VSiN Primetime with me and a host of characters throughout the bowl season. We'll have a podcast as well, but certainly some early feels, and we will get you more, especially as we get closer to these particular bowl games. We'll have periodic podcasts throughout. Follow Matt on Twitter at MattNewmans247. I am at 1TimMurray. Please rate, review, and subscribe. Much more to come as we continue the bowl season right here on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.